What's up, everyone? This is Press X Start Podcast, Season 5, Episode 21. Press X seeks to transform the video game media landscape through an underserved and protected point of view, restorative justice for the underrepresented programmers, developers, and consumers. And I am your host, DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choices, a.k.a. Did You Know? This year, at the E3 2021 all digital conference showcase.
Showcase works better.
Okay. We missed one important voice there. You guys care to guess?
The Engage.
No, we missed Gundam. There was no Gundam at all, and I am frustrated by that.
All right, close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what this year's Gundam anime is from Sunrise, so anything could be happening right now, DJ.
Hathaway. Oh, Hathaway is coming to Netflix. That's exciting. Did you know Hathaway is coming to Netflix, guys? Make sure you watch all the Gundam movies on Netflix coming June 18th, followed by Hathaway, because it's all great. Avery did that, guys. Avery did that.
I did one now.
Who else is here?
It's your boy Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot, a.k.a. the Dragon of Dojima Clan.
Oh.
And I don't know.
You a Doja Cat follower?
No, I have unsubscribed, unfollowed, and blocked that person. I mean, hey, you know, some people just end up in racist chat rooms. You know, internet's a dark and weird place.
I mean, you could trip, right?
I just like that one Bird of Prey song. Right? It's in the Valorant trailer, so I'm like, oh, this is cool. This represents Jet's personality.
But that is the end of my AKAs. I'm just playing that one game right now. I mean, I'm playing other games, but the AKAs just don't matter in those games. But the Dojima the Dragon of Dojima Clan has meaning.
All right. And then who else?
My name is Avery Williams. I am, let's just say, the Platinum King, a.k.a. sitting on the rain of Platinum trophies that none of my friends will ever beat.
Wow. He's calling us out, Marcus. You hear that?
Sure. If it's not a Telltale game, Marcus won't get the Platinum.
I know. And with that being said, this is who we're going to have on Earth's cast. We are missing someone so near and dear to us. Sean MF Ross, what the MF stand for. Missing in fucking action because this man's at Costco.
More of a BJ's guy myself.
Costco's oh, really? I was going to make a Batman joke, but it didn't really work there. Anyways, we today are going to talk about E3 and our takes on it, our feelings on it, and we're going to review the conferences that we saw.
I'm not gonna lie, DJ. I'm looking back at our prediction cast. If you haven't seen that, check it out. Some of us were fucking wrong.
Hey, man.
Some of us were pretty damn close.
All of mine were eye in the sky pie. I knew I'd be wrong on most of them. So no, whatever.
Avery, you're not the worst. I think there's one Sean, person Sean on is here. The worst.
Mine were like. Maybe a little bit of it could be true. Sean was like, these are just things I want. I'm demanding them. They better happen in E3.
Sean is showing out his Tumblr account of all of his bring it back.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, we're gonna talk about our E3 predictions because I went back and I looked at the things that I said that was caught on camera, and I realized that I don't think I was referring to E3 of this year, maybe E3
of 3 years. Skull and Bones.
Trust me, dude, most of mine weren't even about E3. It was just, just predictions I thought would happen by the end of the year.
You know, I mean, to be honest, some of yours, DJ and Avery, like some of them are like, you know, these publishers can do better. Pandemic or not. I mean, Skull and Bones, like, come on.
You're not wrong.
Come on, you're just bullshitting. Just fucking cancel the game.
But before we get to that, let's do a little overview of, you know, our takes on E3. You know, did you guys enjoy it? So on and so forth. So let's start. Did you guys enjoy E3 2021, the all digital experience?
As an overall score, I'll give it a 6. I mean, like if you were combine all of the numbers, all the conferences together. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the best you can do in the middle of a pandemic after a year of nothing but pandemic bullshit. Yeah, I mean, there was a time when E3 was the place to be in terms of the fall schedule and what to look forward to.
Yeah,
I think it's trying to get back to where it was, but this was nowhere near E3s in the past. I were just straight up bangers. Like, yeah, no, this wasn't near it. But there were some standout conferences, though.
Okay.
I was pretty whelmed by this E3. There was a lot to like, but at the end of the day, I have to agree with Jordan in regards to like the strength of this E3. I think that Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest cannot really coexist with E3 as it is.
Never thought about that.
And then
at
the same time, because of the way E3 is now, and I can't tell if this is because of the Summer Game Fest or whatnot, if you don't have something to show off, you don't need a conference.
Absolutely.
You don't need a conference.
There's no reason for you
to. Yeah.
The big problem with this E3 was that outside of the big two major publishers, and you can make an argument for Square and Ubisoft,
mm-hmm.
everyone else who really had a conference that wasn't like just an indie game showcase,
mm-hmm.
just like, why were you doing this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, why? Absolutely.
It just felt like someone that were just panhandling subscriptions in my mind. It just felt like someone that were just panhandling deals.
I'm of two minds. They either just were told, hey, you need the BD3, and they just showed up whatever they had.
Yeah.
Or they're holding stuff off for other conferences and things. It's a whole thing. Like, it was a weird E3, to say the least. I would be a little bit more generous than Sean and give it like a 7, because I do think the standout conference is
really Jordan.
Wow, I keep getting y'all confused, and this is my bad, dude. This is my bad. Yeah, it is.
Okay. I'm sort of along the same lines as you two. I enjoyed parts of this year's E3. Mainly the parts of Microsoft and Nintendo, and then Final Fantasy Origins, because that was delightfully bad. But yeah, I do feel like
delightfully bad. Fucking say this.
I do feel though like Summer Game Fest paired with E3 is very. There is definitely some growing pains there.
Because like, Keighley's still going to have conferences going on till the end of the Summer Game Fest.
Exactly. And I think we are in a weird place where, because of last year, a lot of the publishers, Ubisoft, Ford, maybe Square Enix. I'm not sure if we're going to get more Square Enix stuff going in later in the summer. But like, we are seeing we're going to do our own thing, and we're going to do a little drop feed here. We're going to do a little drop feed in the middle of summer. We're going to do another drop feed at the end of summer or something like that. So E3 isn't really getting the limelight anymore. It's just more so getting, we're going to have a presence here. And like,
I don't think it's that E3 is not getting the limelight anymore. I think somebody to what Avery may have been highlighting was a lot of the strategy of debuting games is more dispersed, which does not nullify what you just said.
Yeah. But wait. Let me clarify one thing, though.
The cornerstone of the summer, events.
When I say that E3 is not getting the limelight, I don't mean from the big publishers like Microsoft and Nintendo. Like, they are definitely like preparing a package, and they had something to show. I'm more so talking about the, like, as Avery was saying, like Square Enix, Capcom, Bandai Namco. Like,
got you. Yeah.
There wasn't really a need.
Gearbox
mm-hmm. too. There wasn't really a need for them to be here other than just to show face.
Yeah.
And it's not even something like. Yeah, it's not even something like I would probably say out of the four we just mentioned. Square probably had the best out of the four because they actually had something that was like, oh, this is, yeah, I forgot about the whole Guardians of the Galaxy.
I mean, you got to make sure that your demos work, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, the Final Fantasy, I'm not even touching that because that's a whole clusterfuck that we could talk about.
these smaller, well, like, small in terms of scale, still large in terms of companies of wealth, having to prepare in scale with the larger publishers is going to be a challenge.
Right. So, okay, we kind of got into it, but where do you guys think was some of the strong points of this year's E3 versus their weaker points? Oh, look at that
background. Well, we've already discussed that the weaker points is that, hey, if you don't have brand new exciting stuff to show, you don't have to show up. In fact, you can just take those things and put them in other conferences with more substantial stuff, and it'll probably stick out more. Its strength, honestly, its strength was it was back to form. It was 3 to 4 days of back-to-back games where everything was concentrated in one place. Like, I personally, this is me, did not like last year's Summer Game Fest because literally it was like every week for like 3 months, someone would come out to show something and it would be an irrelevant conference after irrelevant conference till, oh, something cool. Then like, oh, here's something irrelevant. And when I say irrelevant, I don't want to denigrate anyone's hard work and all the stuff they put into games. But in the grand scheme of like, your work would have probably done better standing out in a bigger, more concentrated conference than sitting by itself alone. Like, a good example is like, I tend to skip most indie game showcases. Mm-hmm. That's just me. It's not anything against indie games. It's just like, I know I'm not the type of gamer who's going to like a lot of the production of indie games. Yeah, however, when an indie game shows up in a, say, a Microsoft press conference or a Nintendo press conference, and it looks interesting, I tend to remember those indie games more than I tend to remember them if I watch a 30-minute presentation about a small bunch of indie games. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues I had with Summer Game Fest last year is we got those kind of conferences every week. And it was like, it was so much.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I again, I'm along the same lines as you where it comes to, I watched a little bit of the PC game showcase. I watched a little bit of the Guerrilla Collective. Mm-hmm. And I watched a little bit of the, was it Future Game or something like that?
Future Game Show.
Yeah. But like, that all just kind of bled together. So it was a thing where it's just like, even like in my mind, I was kind of go back and think like, okay, well, what games did I see here that really stood out to me? And like, it's really hard to like pull one of those games out because they all not necessarily feel or look the same, but because it's like the same amount of time given for every game and it's like pretty quick and there's a lot of content there, like it just kind of all meshes into one crazy, colorful, beautiful game. So I definitely have to go back and look, but like there's no real big standouts for me in that indie scene.
Especially when you can't play the games yourself. Mm-hmm. I find most indie games tend to, oh, this is a 2D platformer. Oh, this is a 2D side scroller. Oh, this is a 2D RPG.
Like retro style. Yeah.
Pixel style.
There we go. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, but they're getting pretty creative though.
I'm never gonna like Supergiant Games is one of my favorite developers, and their games, despite the polish on them, are 100% indie games. And like, if I never saw Transistor at a PlayStation conference, they as a development studio would have gone over my head. Like, I just would have never seen them because like I've talked about this. I mentioned this. Like, the retro aesthetic doesn't do anything for me to excite me for a game.
Yeah.
Would you say that you were a Twisted Transistor?
Yes, Sean. Yeah, I called you Sean. I did that on purpose. Like,
You know what? The time for corrections over. Fuck it.
I did that on purpose.
People are paying attention.
I did that on purpose. How dare you? But yeah.
Okay. I really would love to see Sony come back to this. And I mean, it's a thing where they can just have a state of play. They could just do what Microsoft did, like, I guess a few years back where they weren't at E3, but they had the venue right across the street from it.
The Microsoft Theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like,
I remember those times.
Yeah. Like I was definitely missing the presence of Sony at this event.
Oh yeah.
And it's one of those things where I was kind of like thinking about it to myself. Like, I think the only time we will see Sony come back is when they feel like they're no longer top dog. So it's going to be one of those things where E3 is going to belong, or at least most of it will belong to Microsoft, because Nintendo will most likely have a presence there. And like this year, Nintendo had a very, very strong, in my mind, had a very strong direct. And I think it kind of like, at least from what I was watching, like a lot of people were kind of like, oh, Nintendo stuff was really good versus like, oh my God, Microsoft was like fucking God on earth or whatever.
Well, I mean, like, in a world where Sony did come to this E3, based on the information you've had recently about their production schedule right now, is their fall is going to be mainly Horizon for now, like for the foreseeable future. They push back God of War. There's no Last of Us 2. Ratchet & Clank just came out. Like, Sony already had a AAA banger in the zeitgeist. Like, there's no value-added justification if Sony were to be at E3. They've already proven themselves as the go-to console right now.
Yeah, and I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah,
I wanted Sony.
What were they going to talk about? Like,
to
like
that what? Point, what DJ was talking about Sony not being the top dog. Here's the thing. Nintendo technically hasn't been in E3 since they started doing directs.
Mm-hmm.
And with Sony's state of plays and them getting better and better and better at making those, the want to actually have a big, as cool and as hype as it was to be in a theater watching a big PlayStation conference with all the production value, they get the same metrics out for less overhead with a really good state of play.
That's true.
And so
they just had a state of play for Horizon
last
like 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also agree with what you were saying, Jordan.
Yeah, okay.
Wanna go to what games announcements?
Yeah, we could do that. In terms of what they succeeded, I think you guys covered it. It was a show. Mm-hmm. It was E3 back in its form, really.
I mean, shit, man. What was the last time we were like, yo, E3 is here. Where you at? You know, watching that shit at work and stuff. Like,
right.
It's been a while since I've... Because, like, there were some dark-ass ages for E3 even before this one.
Absolutely.
When they closed it to the public, it was nothing but fucking journalists in there.
Yeah.
And you saw journalists sleeping on the benches and nothing to fucking do. They played all the games and wanted to go home. Yeah, no, there were some dark times in E3's history. God. Like 2011 and shit. That was real bad that year.
I will say that, like, I think it was Saturday, I felt thrown back into my childhood because I was on my computer, like, doing stuff. And I just had, like, I think it was IGN. I just had their stream running. It was just playing different games. And it was just like, when I think of E3 at home, I think of me, playing with whatever at home and just having the, at the time, G4.
Yes,
on
G4.
Just showing a bunch of E3 stuff. Yeah.
Golden age, man. But you're a dad now. Do you want to give his wife more evidence to your incompetence right now?
Hey, let me tell you something.
More ammunition for that kitchen talk.
As
you've been watching E3 all weekend.
As soon as London is able to recognize stuff, she'll be watching. Actually, you know what? Speaking of which, I actually caught
her.
I caught her looking at Final Fantasy Origins.
Look at it.
That may or may not be true, Avery. But I caught her watching me play Gundam, so that was cool.
That's terrible.
Although I don't think she could recognize anything that was going on. She was probably looking at the bright lights and colors and stuff. So either way, win for me. Speaking of wins, let's talk about the game/announcements that stood out to each of us. Avery, you go first.
Okay, so this is one that's personal to me, and I'm going to be honest, it was one of the only two pops I personally had, and I think we had the video evidence of this, at the Microsoft conference, and that was the Plague Tale Innocence Requiem.
Yeah.
I love A Plague Tale. It is one of the better designed AA games of the last couple of years. When I say AA, I mean AA. Like, it doesn't have the production value of, say, Last of Us. But the team put in a lot of care and effort that it doesn't throw you.
Okay.
That game had a solid ending with a little bit of a inkling of they could do more. So I never even thought that they would come back to it. And like, I saw a river of rats going down a corridor. And I'm like, oh, this is a Plague Tale. This is a Plague Tale. And I was super excited. Like, it's one of those things where I thought there was absolutely no gameplay. The only thing I can confer from this trailer is that the main character, Amicia, has a crossbow now. In the last game, all she had was a slingshot, and that's how she dealt with enemies. Like, it was primarily a stealth it was primarily a stealth game. There wasn't much actual combat in there. So it looks like they might be giving you more active control in combat encounters. That's what it looks like. But yeah, that was one of the things that stood out to me.
Okay. Jordan, how about you?
I was right about Forza Horizon, about that being announced. And yeah, that game is going to be wild in terms of scale. Like, I'm getting big Forza Horizon 3 vibes, which, and I think a map of Forza Horizon 3 was larger than Forza Horizon 4, in my opinion. Maybe I got to go online and verify that. But it only felt bigger because of the diversity and biomes within the map itself. Because there's going to be mountainous areas, it's going to be desert, it's going to be jungle. And, you know, this is, I think, the way Ratchet & Clank was for the PS5. Microsoft wants to set this up as the technical showcase for the series systems.
Definitely look like it will be, though.
Yeah, that and Halo Infinite, you know, all those fucking Craig memes going around, everyone wishing for that game to fail. It's looking good. It's looking good. And, you know, I'm glad that Joseph's back on the squad, because they just did not have that, you know, that heart and direction that was important to the first trilogy, because it's like, this is technically, it's the Halo saga, but, you know, the first three games, which was Halo's prime. And in terms of the architecture, the scenery, like, what 343 did was try to have, like, this fucking alien robot, you know, sleek bullshit that no one asked for. Now they're going back to Redmond, Washington. Now they're going back to that art style in the world, to which, you know, it feels like a true adventure shooter is the best way I can put it. So, and the coalition's giving them support, and also the Forza team's giving them support. So all those people coming together to make a good product is very exciting. Redfall, that trailer was hype as fuck. The way Troy reloaded the gun, you know, looks like Left 4 Dead with vampires and special abilities. And finally, Xbox is just hammering over the head in terms of Game Pass. You know, like, what I did, turned on my Series X this morning and got a notification saying, like, hey, all those games that you saw at the conference, you can pre-download them right now. You know, a part of their data, at least, and have it on your hard drive saved. So, yeah, I downloaded Forza. I downloaded Psychonauts 2, downloaded Hades, downloaded, you know, got to get my Yakuza in, got to get that shit in the fucking veins. But that was a very unique experience that's left an impact on me, where an E3 conference allowed me to immediately, and minus Halo Infinite, of course, but allowed me to immediately download those games that they were showcasing onto my console, ready to go when they come out. So that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Game Pass is looking really strong, man. Hopefully Sony is preparing something. I don't know.
It's one of those weird things where Sony sort of has two Game Pass like avenues, but they're not Netflix, so they don't get talked about like that.
Well, they have to program them up to do it, because, you know, people think Game Pass happened overnight. Like, this is its fifth year of existence, or fourth year of existence.
Right.
Yeah, you have to program up. I mean, PlayStation Plus compared to Gold, which is a better comparison, because Gold also gives you, like, you know, a few games a month, was way better than Gold. But then, you know, when you compare upwards or sideways to the Game Pass, it's quick. Two game of the years, Octopath Traveler and Hades are on there right now. So we'll see what Sony does, you know, with the subscription service.
Yeah, or if they do anything at all. My games, this E3 was really strange for me, because it tugged more on my nostalgia than I've probably ever been hit before watching E3. And I mean, like, literally ever. So my first big pop was Metal Slug Tactics. I am a big RTS person, but I just don't.
We've talked about this. RTS is a completely different genre. You're thinking of strategy RPG.
Okay. I'm a big strategy RPG person. Actually, no, I also do like real-time strategy games too. But yeah, anyways, Metal Gear Tactics, when I first
Metal Gear Tactics, which I think is a game.
I think so too. Metal Slug Tactics. Like, Metal Slug as a franchise is a franchise that I love so dearly and wish that it would come back in its pixelated side-scroller shooter form. But this game I will take most definitely. So that was a big one for me. The other heartstring that is pretty much within the same avenue as Tactics is Advance Wars Remaster. I'm not sure what the full title is, but I'm just calling it Remaster. Because I think this is a actual remaster built from the ground up for Switches. Yeah. Their jargon. But yeah, like, I absolutely adore and love Advance Wars to the point where I spent about a week or so trying to find a replacement for that game on my phone, and I did. There's a game that's pretty much a carbon copy of Advance War, but it's just reskinned. I bought that, played it for a bit, loved it, and I just kind of kept it on my phone. Metroid Dread. So I think I was either talking to Avery or...
Yeah, you're talking to me.
Yeah, okay. I've actually never played a Metroid game before, like, ever. And it was one of those things where the side-scrollers just never appealed to me at the time. And Prime just never appealed to me, too, because I think when that dropped, it dropped for GameCube, right?
Yeah, it was GameCube gaming. They didn't have dual analog, so kind of had, like, a tank control.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Because it was, I think I actually tried playing it or, like, a demo or played it at, like, Best Buy or something. And, like, it just didn't click for me. So to see this, he has as a side scroller, but it's actually kind of a survival side scroller. Like, I really like the look and feel of this game, and that really appealed to me. And I really like the combat options, I should say, because that punch, that uppercut reflector thing looked cool. The dashing, the shooting looked cool. The only thing is that because I've never played Metroid, I know I'm going to have to get accustomed to the, like, shooting mechanics. I know it's just going to be different because it's Nintendo and that's how they do things. The biggest pop for me was Riders Republic. Now, this trailer for this game literally got me excited down to my toes. I curled up watching the snowboarding stuff because I felt like this is the closest I'm going to get to SSX. This is it. So just enjoy it. Except that if this game comes out and it's a 6, it's going to be a 6 that I play for maybe months, hopefully months.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, DJ. If you want to play SSX 3, just get yourself an Xbox Series X or S, and you can play in backwards compatibility, downloadable via the Windows Store.
Did you just read that?
I play SSX every 3 days to keep the demons away.
It's SSX Thursday. Let's go. But so yeah, like, the thing is, I actually flirted around with the idea of, like, figuring out if I could play SSX again in some way, shape, or form. But
is your computer still intact? Like, did you go to some fucking crazy Somalian website for it? For an emulator?
Let's just say I'm full of blood and I use my advantage. But I ended up, man. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Riders Republic, right? So I'm really hoping this game is how they're marketing it to be, and it's not going to be some kind of surprise twist once we get it. And if that's the case, like, I literally will be on this game for a very long time. Okay. The other games, the last two that I have on my list is Death's Door. Funny enough, this is actually one of the indie games that was a part of, it was in Guerrilla Collective and it was in another one too.
Well, that was one of the issues that the indie games at E3 had, is that they kept showing, a lot of games just kept showing up in other conferences and not changing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Guardians showed up as, like,
Guardians trailer. Yeah. Guardians showed up at they showed up at Square, and they showed up the entire walkthrough, and then they showed up again in Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo.
Great.
And they just showed the trailer again. The same thing happened with Tiny Tina. They showed up at Summer Game Fest kickoff, and then it was in the Gearboxing. Didn't change anything.
So yeah, like, Death's Door is the top-down isometric view game where you play as a crow Grim Reaper, and you go back to the land of the living to essentially reap the souls that should be dead. On the face of it, that sounds like, all right, whatever. That sounds like a gothic game or whatever. But like, the style is, it's made by the same studio that did Hyper Light Drifter, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, so like the combat looks really, really good. The actual art style isn't pixelated. It's very much so, I don't know, it's smooth, kind of simplistic shapes and colors. I don't know. It's hard to say. Just watch it. Just look at the thing. So yeah, I'm actually really excited about that. I don't know if I'm going to get it, because it's usually the general flow of me when it comes to indie. It's like, oh, that looks cool. And when it comes
you pick it up, you buy it, and you spend like an hour in it, and you're like, oh, okay. And you just move on, forget about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the last game on my list is Elden Ring. So
Elden Ring.
Yeah. So this is a weird one, because when I first saw the trailer, I was very much just like, all right, whatever. Not necessarily like dismissing it as a game, but more so acknowledging, okay, this thing actually exists. It looks cool for people who like Souls games. Is not for me. But my mind changed once I watched the developer interview with the creator. Oh, I'm putting Babylon's Fall on here as well.
Hidetaka Miyazaki?
There you go, that one.
I'm sorry, Michael Zaki, as we like to call him on the internet.
But yeah, like, that interview kind of sold me on the game and like the things, or it might not have been an interview. I might have been mixing it up with Babylon's Fall, but whatever. There was a deeper dive into that game and people were talking about it. And like, I think that kind of sold me on the possibility of that game, the potential of that game.
Yeah, from what I can tell, the big difference between this and other Souls games is that this really seems like they're making a open world Zelda game, but with the Souls mechanics on top of it.
Right. And I really like the idea of playing with other people. Because I feel like, for me at least, that's going to be the barrier of just like, I got to grind out to like, not necessarily like grind out, but it's like I have to learn this guy's attack pattern. And
I mean, if you want to play Bloodborne, I can just bring in my Bloodborne character. We can go ham. I'm just saying.
Wait, does Bloodborne have online?
Oh, pretty much all of their games except for Sekiro have multiplayer.
Why did I not know that? I feel like
because you played 30, not even 30 minutes, 10 minutes of Bloodborne, couldn't figure out how to put on a weapon and said, this game is bad and stop playing.
I can either confirm or deny that those things were said out of my mouth.
I'm pretty sure there's a podcast on record that
you're not wrong. All right. The last game I'm going to say is Babylon's Fall. The reason why I'm putting this on the list is because I can't spell Babylon. But literally,
that's definitely a way to spell it.
Yeah. It, you know, whatever. Autocorrect, save me. Cool. Baby lawns. Let's go. So yeah, basically, when this second trailer came out, people were just up at arms because they're like, "What the fuck is this? This is not my game. This is not the game that they showed us last year."
Have you heard the rumor of why this game looks like this?
Why does it look like this?
Because apparently Square Enix is flabbergasted by Monster Hunter and its current rise, and so they wanted a Monster Hunter-like game.
Oh, so here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. That makes sense. I could definitely see Square Enix being like, "What is this? We'll do this with that game." But I went back and I watched a trailer for last year, and there's literally some of the same like video clips that was used in that trailer that's used in this trailer this year. And it's just like they just show more stuff this year, and it actually shows multiple people playing in the single like game or whatever. And it's just like at the end of the trailer last year, at the end they showed four characters with the things on their back. It was just like when we were talking about last year, we were speculating that like, oh, maybe it might be multiplayer. So like for us to think in that way, it's like I just didn't understand why people were just up at arms so much about this game and presentation. Like graphics wise, I understand and I agree. But in terms of it being multiplayer, I don't understand why people are mad. It looks good. It looks fun. I really hope that gameplay wise, it lives up, especially because it's Platinum and people say Platinum has really good gameplay.
Platinum is two studios. They either make really serviceable licensed games or they give you a Vanquish. And you're just like, oh my God, they should just be making game every game.
Right.
But all right. I actually had more games to talk about.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
I thought we were going to go back and forth. I didn't know we were just going to list all our games out at once. Okay. So let me try and make this quick. Guardians of the Galaxy, that's another game that super surprised me. I knew that game was in development. I just, in a post-Avengers world, I didn't know what this game was going to be. And so I was pleasantly surprised that it seemed to be a better version of the Telltale Guardians of the Galaxy game, in that it is a multiple choice game where you're guiding Peter Quill across a story. And from the gameplay and everything about it looks fun. It looks cool. I'm excited to play it. My only concern about that game, and this is me, A.V. Williams, as a hardcore Marvel fan, I'm super tired of everything in Marvel aping the sort of like aesthetic of the Guardians movie. And like this one hurts even more in that like it has the same problem that quote-unquote Avengers have, in that it's trying to be the MCU, but it's not. So all the characters look like the MCU versions, but not. That being said, the pre-orders for it allow you to put them all in their comic book costumes, which I think look much better than how they look in the actual game. So I'm super excited for that. Another thing I'm super excited for is Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Mario plus Rabbids was one of that was my Switch game in an era where I before Mario Odyssey came out, and like as someone who didn't really care about Breath of the Wild, that was a game that I like sat in front of my Switch, putting as much time as physically possible into it. Like the only flaw that game had was it didn't have enough depth. Like
depth or death?
Depth. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Like it's a relatively straightforward game that like has a middle, beginning, and end. It doesn't really have the like hardcore crunch that most strategy games of that, like XCOM games of that ilk has. This looks like it's bringing that back. It's also changing up the combat. Instead of going traditional grid base, it's going free roam. So now there's like more variables you need to pay attention to, because like you won't know how far an enemy can get to you by baiting the grid. You just gotta, it's gonna be a lot more tactical. I think I'm really excited for that. Another game I'm super excited for is Rainbow Six Extraction. I love Rainbow Six Siege. I think it's a really fun game. I'm garbage at it, but like the time to kill in that game is so short that like if I'm not on my game, I'm just dead, and I can't even really I can't heal, I can't do anything, I'm just dead. Some of my favorite time in that game was playing it single player, and for them to take that single player content and build an entire game around it with like customization and all that type of thing is amazing. Like Rainbow Six has a really subtle, cool cast of characters, and seeing them expressed through this game, and like nothing made me more excited than seeing that trailer and being like, okay, that's Ella, look at her air jab, oh that's a Nomad, this is like, oh like it was really cool. So I'm like I'm really excited for that. And I think well, my last two games you guys really talked about, Elden Ring and Redfall. Redfall is, I love Arkane, I pretty much loved all their games, even when they're sort of slacking with a Wolfenstein Youngblood. So I'm super excited for this game. I'm really hoping that this game isn't guilty of what my fear of it is, in that Arkane is really good at making simulation shooters that are single player. And this game looks like a multiplayer-esque Left 4 Dead type of game, which to me seems a symptom of them wanting to have a game that will live on Game Pass in perpetuity. And I kind of just want a, I want a hunter to record. I'll take a multiplayer, but I don't want it to be a multiplayer like Left 4 Dead. Like I want. Did you guys play Hunter the Reckoning back on like PS2 and Xbox?
No, I did not.
That sounds familiar though.
Yeah, like well, they were like, it was like a Gauntlet as Diablo as game where you hunted vampires and werewolves and stuff, and like a old asylum, and it was really arcadey, really fun. If this game apes that with the Arkane feel, I'll be super excited. But if it's more of like a Left 4 Dead type of stuff without like a tailored story, I'll be a little bit disappointed, but it's Arkane, so I'll play it regardless. And then the last game is Elden Ring. I'm a Souls convert. I remember going to a GameStop years ago, and like the teller coming up to me with a copy of Demon's Souls is like, hey man, this game is super cool, maybe you want to try it. And like, it's super hard, and I'm like, I don't play games for difficulty, and I just walked away, and I've never been more angry at myself, because I sat down one day, just played Bloodborne, and I'm like, oh my god, these might be the best design games of all time. And so I've been playing every Souls game I can get my hand, like main From Software Souls game I can get my hands on. I'm still slowly working my way through Sekiro. That's because Sekiro is a different type of Souls game. It's really frustrating because it is. But otherwise, I'm super excited for Elden Ring. I can't wait to sort of be on the ground floor of a Souls game going forward.
Yeah. Okay.
In terms of Redfall, I think I was excited also about Back for Blood. You know, there wasn't that much content, but just the fact of it, you know.
Like, that's one of my things with Redfall and why I don't want Redfall to be a Back for Blood-like game. Because I think if Back for Blood hits the level if it hits, it's going to just exist forever as the Left 4 Dead that everyone can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like only one of those games are going to succeed, unfortunately, just because there's so much parallel between them.
And I mean, one we have a cinematic trailer. We still got to see how much different Back 4 Blood is going to be from Redfall.
Well, no, I mean, Redfall has a tone piece because I think Arkane has two studios, but their main studio has been working on the game that Xbox can't show, Deathloop, and so I'm wondering what time their other studio got to start working on this game. They did Prey before this. And then the Prey DLC, and then they had Death of the Outsider. There was like a whole bunch of stuff around this. I really want to see more of Redfall.
Right. All right. With that being said, let's jump to our predictions. So this will be really short because we were, except for Jordan, mostly wrong. Well, except for Avery too. Avery, you threw some predictions out there. That's next year or the last Smash character.
Okay. Don't get me started on Smash Brothers. This is like the weirdest. That was like the weirdest reveal ever. It was so lame. Like it's cool. It's like, come on, man.
Yo, I literally when Ganon was being held, I called it. I was like, that's Kazuya.
The minute I saw someone being thrown into lava, I was like, oh, this is chicken. Is it going to be Jin or Kazuya?
Oh man, I love that. Oh, that was great. Okay, so my predictions, I'm just gonna read them off because they were just all wrong. So first one was Horizon will release between July and August of this year. That was very, very wrong because they said actually it's releasing in the fall. Bloodborne 2 will be revealed at the Sony conference. That was doubly wrong because Bloodborne 2 wasn't even mentioned.
That was like so wrong. Like, one, we didn't know there was no Sony conference to be mentioned at the time.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you talking about Sony's games? Like some,
and two,
I was hoping.
Two, From Software is like working on Elden Ring, and that game hasn't even come out yet. So it's bold of them to say, also, Bloodborne 2.
Right. My third prediction was God of War will be shown with a release window of winter 2022. Again, there was no Sony conference, so where were they going to be shown? Starfield was going to be shown and will be a departure of the Bethesda formula by offering a tighter story narrative and not be as open as Skyrim, which was doubly wrong.
Well, you'll get partial credit because it was shown off, but we saw absolutely nothing of the game.
Yeah, and they said that it's going to be like Skyrim. So
exactly.
Yeah, and then I said we'll see the long-awaited Skull and Bones, and no, he didn't.
We'll see Beyond Good and Evil 2 before we see Skull and Bones.
You're probably right on that. And then my last one wasn't really one because I feel like From Software has abandoned their golden geese as
the golden goose.
I mean, if From Software gets picked up by a major publisher, maybe you'll see an Armored Core.
Sony, do it. And so my last thing was Armored Core will finally be shown and everyone will be shocked by its impressive girth of customizable features.
Girths are weird adjectives used there.
No, it's the appropriate additive.
Sure.
Adjective, because that's the word I said to begin with. Jordan, what is your predictions?
So actually, wait.
Before you do that, I'm just gonna read all Sean's because there are four.
Do we want to though? I mean, these are so fucking outlandish. All right, go ahead.
Sean said the first thing will be Ape Escape prequel. Or remake. He was wrong, but we got Monkey Ball, so, you know, kind of.
There are monkeys.
The second game, he said, Twisted Metal Return. He was wrong, but we got Forza. The third prediction, Bayonetta 2.
Okay, first of all, wrong with two accounts. Bayonetta 2 is already out. You can pick it up on both Switch and Wii U.
Yeah, why did he say? I think he meant Bayonetta
3. Bayonetta 3.
He did, but no, he said Bayonetta 2. He gets that point because it's out already. And then his last prediction was a remake of Parasite Eve. We got Final Fantasy Origin instead. Here we go. That's not even the right publisher. I don't care. All right, Jordan, go.
No, it is. Parasite Eve is Square Enix.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Capcom.
No, because Capcom is Dino Crisis.
You're right. All right, Jordan.
Yeah, no, first prediction was Forza Horizon 5, reveal trailer, release in fall, and someone decided to put the Forza car is also one of the mascot characters. Fucker, did that.
That was Forza. Me, and I was waiting so long for you to read that.
But once again, no matter the haters or detractors, we're right on the money. Another thing I was on the money about, Starfield fall 2022.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We knew it was going to be 2022. I mean, I said 2022, but I'm like, fuck, it was going to come out in the first 6 months. Fall 2022. And I said Star Citizen meets Fallout, but it's more so on the Skyrim side. But Skyrim and Fallout, you're still naked and afraid. Psychonauts 2, launch trailer reveal. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I was thinking it was just going to be a day and date release, but no, we got... What am I saying here? Available on Game Pass. Okay.
Day and date
drop and summer release. So okay, so I was right. I didn't mean shadow drop. I meant day and date drop summer release. So that's what it is.
Okay.
EA debuts Battlefield 6 trailer at conference. Available Game Pass, that is false. But there is a weird partnership thing going on there with EA play owners. That's available via Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Ubisoft Plus partnership, nope. And also no clear indication on whether or not Game Pass is going to increase in the future, but no Ubisoft Plus partnership like EA Play.
Right.
Wolfenstein 3 teaser, nope, didn't happen. But we got other things from Bethesda, though, which was cool. That Contraband game, which is being made by Avalanche. You have Crossfire. I think Crossfire might be pushed back to next year, to be honest. I haven't heard a peep about that game in a minute.
I wouldn't be surprised. It'd be better off.
I mean, like hey, man,
Remedy's putting their best foot forward in that game so they can get the money to make games I actually care about.
So the thing about Crossfire as a, you know, response to that is it's more of a CSGO style shooter.
Yeah, the game is popular. Yeah, I think it's the game popular overseas.
Very popular in Korea. And they don't, you know, they're all about those Twitch shits, which could give it a bit of a personality, but we won't see it until it comes out. And finally,
real quick before you jump. I'm less sold by Crossfire because I feel like that's one thing it doesn't have is a personality. And I think even if it lands and it's a very like tactical, realistic shooter, I feel like we have that in Battlefield. And I think that in terms of the general public looks at Call of Duty and Battlefield as that like realistic tactical shooter. Although, you know,
I think that's what Remedy's trying to do.
Yeah, like Remedy, like, you know, Battlefield is more forgiving than CSGO.
I agree.
And like, you can't aim down sights in CSGO, which was also a thing about Crossfire. So, like the generic trailer of the white boy hopping out of a helicopter onto a skyscraper, totally fine. Very generic. We've seen that shit before. Mm-hmm. But additionally, this game's going to have a single player campaign, which Battlefield does not.
That might
be appealing for those just trying to, you know, not mess around with that. Sweaties online. And finally, yeah, I was right about this. No info on Fable and Perfect Dark because it's still in the oven. Still gestizing.
That Outer Worlds 2 trailer had a little bit of Fable vibe at the beginning, which was...
I know, but I was like, that's too much color for Beast.
Yeah.
Okay, let me run through my misfires and my pipe dreams, whatever. My number one was next-gen VR headset will release next year, first half probably. Here's the funny thing. PlayStation pretty much came out days after when I made this and said and talked more about their VR headset with things about it coming out next year. So, like, there's no conference.
True.
There's no conference to like shout this out to the heavens, but it's not.
If you want the points, take them.
No.
That's no.
Go on, take the rest.
My next one was really dumb, and like this was just a pie in the sky because I was talking about Square Enix, and frankly, after that Square Enix conference, I really hope they had done it. But by next year, Sony will acquire a big Japanese publisher. Whatever, I said by next year, it could happen. No conference to announce it. Let's just move on.
I'm not trying to throw too much shame. I'm just waiting for the moment Sony's acquired by Apple or Amazon or something like that. Like a cloud services.
Google comes out, hey guys, Stadia's back, and we have Sony.
I'd cry.
Oh,
because like Stadia have no games, so like that's
true.
My third one is something that I will argue, but is wrong, is that we don't see Halo Infinite this year. They showed about a minute of single player, no actual gameplay, but showed at least a little bit of the story, and then they showed a lot of multiplayer. The spirit of this was that this game wasn't coming out this year. I'm still holding to that thought, but I'm willing to be proven wrong. And then my final one.
Hopefully you're proven wrong. Because, boy.
And then my last one was the final fighter for Smash will be a DMC 5 Dante. Look, the year isn't over. We don't know the final Smash Bros. Is going to be. But
we got a couple months.
But we got a character. I was assuming this was made in the spirit that we were going to see a character. It was going to be Dante. It was.
Nintendo Direct always debuts a new.
I was assuming that was like it's going to be Dante or Sora. It's going to be one of those two. It wasn't. It's another character who I'm pretty sure it's Sakurai being like, I don't want to do any work. I just want to translate this character's moves into this game. Cut and paste. Let's move on.
Yep.
And that was my my wall of shame of predictions. Next year, I will try to make think of them before I record the podcast.
You're right. All right. So the last thing we're going to do is we'll just do a really quick, what was your favorite conference? What was your worst conference? Jordan, you go first.
Xbox. Like, Xbox got like the highest, like out of all the polls, Xbox polled the highest. And even outside of that, you know, I always say, am I proud to own this device? Is this something that I feel was a good investment? I mean, beyond the console itself, I just bought the fucking extended hard drive, like the fucking 1 terabyte SSD to give myself more room to download games. And that was before this conference. Could have been totally wrong and had that shit collect dust for the next year and not have any next-gen titles on the damn thing. But this conference reinforced my purchase of a Series X and Game Pass Ultimate. You know, it justified the buy. And I think that's what companies of various types of, you know, mediums would want, is for their customers to go, this was a good purchase and I'm enjoying it. But worst conference.
Okay.
Gonna have to say Gearbox, because Randy Fishburne is a swindler. Don't trust him. Don't trust him. I think he has skeletons and only waiting to come out. So we'll see when they do come out. And, you know, like, I barely watched the goddamn thing because you sent me that test message saying Gearbox is the opposite of what you told him to do. I'm like, well, that's all I need to hear. And then I sent the little snippets on YouTube later of the shit they showed. I'm like, God damn.
Yeah.
Let's just wait for Tiny Tina to come out and play that for a couple weekends and call it a day. Because outside of Borderlands, it was Battleborn and that shit went to hell.
It was all yikes.
Yeah. So
Avery?
My favorite. Yeah, I think my favorite was the Ubisoft Forward.
Okay.
I think Rainbow Six Siege, Extraction, game grabbed me. Mario plus Rabbids grabbed me. Like we talked about earlier, this is a weird E3 where like I sent text to DJ back and forth. We're like, I think a lot of conferences were good and solid, but few of them really gave me the meat, like everything I wanted. So me saying Ubisoft is kind of a cop out, where I'm like, it had two of the games I was super excited for, so it was my favorite conference. And then for worse, it's a tie between Gearbox, which we have on our list, and it's for every reason that Jordan said. Very reason Jordan said, this was clearly a conference just so Randy Pitchford could fucking show up on a Hollywood set and show how cool he is. Like, they had nothing. Like, I can't even fathom that they once again showed the exact same Tiny Tina trailer and then didn't even give any real information about anything. The producer came on and said, hey, I get to say I'm working on Tiny Tina. It's based on this. That's it. And then...
Yeah. Gearbox isn't a fucky situation being owned by Embracer Group, which is a terrible name for a cabal of publishers and developers. They're fucked. Gearbox is fucked. I'm sorry for those people.
And then my tie for worse, and because it's depending on how I'm feeling, which is the worst, was the Coke Media, Koch Media, Cock Media conference, which was like an hour and 90 minutes. So like 2 hours and 30 minutes of just like people describing games that they can't show.
Yeah.
Because they haven't even started making them. But they want you to know about these 12 games that they're working on. Mm.
Mm.
It was I need to watch that one. Bad. Like the Gearbox one was well produced and at least it was a little cute. This one was just like, I'm sitting in front of the Zoom and I'm gonna talk about all these games that we were gonna work on, and I'm gonna get Jeff Keighley in here to be like, I'm really excited about this game that I haven't even seen, but
it was off the paragraph he sent me. Yeah, it reads well.
It was bad.
Yeah. So yeah, this is kind of a tough one for me because I'm kind of at a tie between the Xbox and Nintendo conference in terms of my favorite, but I'm going to give it to Devolver Digital because year after year, they show that it is completely okay to take the complete piss out of E3. And this year they did not disappoint. Like everything from the hot dogs that they had, like random people eating hot dogs for some strange reason, like the whole NFT stuff that they were riffing off of, the mannequin that had the dick, that showcase was hilarious. And then they even got me because I was like, oh, so they're doing a subscription stuff, and everybody was like, no, that was a joke. I was like, oh.
It's them making of Game Pass.
So
that's why they listed every game as a premium product.
So for those reasons, I have to give that my top spot. My worst, it is a tie. Like, I didn't even watch the Coke Media thing because I think I was watching Kind of Funny and they were kind of laughing about that.
I think Greg fell asleep halfway through it.
Yeah.
Like he was filming it in front of his hotel room, and he just like decided to go, I'm eating my sandwich and I'm gonna take a nap watching this. And then they kept going to other conferences, and then they come back and like, holy shit, it's been 10 minutes, and this is the same guy on screen talking.
See, that's wild. But I'm actually going to give it to Bandai Namco, because they said that it was going to be a Bandai Namco showcase. They didn't say what they were going to show. They showed one game. It was Man of Medan, the newest one, where the war soldiers are like underground or whatever. And it was literally that. It was about 15 minutes long, and that was it. That boggled my mind because I thought at least we're going to see like more information on Elden Ring or something. Maybe the same trailer again, like Gearbox is doing. Nothing. It was just the one thing. And it's like, that literally could have been a blog post. Like, you could literally just take that video and put it on the internet, and that's it. You're good. There was no need for them to be there. There was no reason for them to be there to just show that. It was annoying. It was annoying because I was expecting something from them and got nothing. Literally got nothing.
That's rough.
So yeah, that's yeah.
I didn't watch Bandai Namco because after Capcom, I was like, I'm not doing this again.
Yeah, so Capcom was good.
No, I'm sorry. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say like Capcom thing was rough because I was like, wait, this is something I have to prepare for now, because obviously like these companies are coming here and showing barely anything.
And then if they do show something, they show the worst parts of it.
Mm-hmm. Like, then Bandai Namco was like, hold my beer. Like, I have something to show
you. People like Phoenix Wright, but you're not selling Phoenix Wright by just showing the game's very intricate gameplay features.
Yeah. Yeah.
With no god. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jordan, what were you going to say?
So there is a second Xbox showcase that'll be on. I mean, by the time people listen to this, it'll probably have been passed. But there's a second one being hosted by Paris. From XCast.
Paris Lily?
Yeah.
Cool.
And Xbox is saying this is a part two. I mean, you're going to have 343, Double Fine. Mm-hmm. But this time around, you're going to have Ninja Theory, Obsidian, Playground Games was already there, but Rare, World's Edge. So they're kind of hush-hush about what it's going to be about, but Ninja Theory and Obsidian are working on games that are further out.
Hey. When is that supposed to be dropping?
Tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow at 1 p.m. Eastern.
1 p.m. Eastern?
1 p.m. Eastern, so...
Crap. I have a baby appointment.
No, you can have this stuff later. But they're not done. This is a part two. We'll see what this looks like. What the hell? It's going to be just, on the couch talking about, it's going to be great. Or it could be, more content.
It could be like a what's their Xbox like show called?
They don't have one. Like Major Nelson and his little podcast.
They have that
Xbox. with Jessica.
Xbox? No.
Well, it's not Xbox. Like last year, they did like these showcases where like. It was like
the Xbox YouTube account produces content with Major Nelson and Jessica Chobot. Like those are the two people producing content that deals with interviews and stuff like that. But in terms of a dedicated Xbox show,
is it Inside Xbox?
Inside Xbox,
it might.
That's a smaller.
Yeah. I think it can either be an Inside Xbox where they're just getting these developers to get down to. Sit them down and talk about their games, give you more detail, or it could be hey, we talked about some of our Xbox games at the showcase, but we wanted to focus primarily on Game Pass, so here's us actually sitting down and giving you a little bit more context on these games.
There hasn't been an Inside Xbox since last year, but in terms of that format, I do understand what you're saying. It's been a while since there's been an Inside Xbox.
Yeah.
Because I like Paris, but Paris wouldn't be the person I would put on stage to show my
why
show the well how do I say cool. No he is
he's
cool,
a family man he's Terry Crews but tiny
he's not a Greg Miller if that makes sense.
What's that supposed to mean?
He's not like super big and
he's not
like,
a giant
he's
big
oh known. He's growing
Paris like as someone who never really paid attention to like Xbox fan media,
right?
His influence right now and sort of like the culture of video games and everything of that has been really cool to see. It sounds more if you get Paris, I'm thinking of more intimate. I want to talk with the developers. I want people to understand where Xbox is coming from a like more personal standpoint. That's what I think.
It's like having a conversation versus presenting something.
Yes, that makes more sense.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah, like, and the thing is, like, I be honest, I didn't know who Paris was until he was on Kind of Funny content.
Funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same it's here. Just like, oh, that's cool. That's awesome. This guy's been in the industry for so long and just...
He's never... building a brand. And, he met with...
Phil Spencer, with, Major Nelson.
He met with them a couple weeks, about a month ago. So I'd imagine that was in preparation for this conference.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So... If he does not consider himself an Xbox insider, he should start considering himself an Xbox insider.
Paris is in. It's one of those things. When Paris was the face of Cyberpunk, I'm like, Paris, you're an insider now.
That's actually I've been on Twitter more often than not, but that is becoming a toxic term. Like, if you're an insider, you're starting to be considered a sycophant game.
That was the big Cyberpunk brouhaha around Paris was that. When Jason Schreier was sort of like going off on how he feels about CD Projekt Red and all their practices, Paris was like, oh man, like I know these developers, I've worked with them a lot of this. I'm like, what you're doing kind of suck. And then Jason kind of just went off on Paris and like said some shit. And I'm like, oh, I like you, Jason, but this is kind of a little out of pocket right now.
Yeah,
Jason Schreier's words at times.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been it for our E3 2021 wrap-up. We hope you enjoyed the episode as much as you enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review and like our content on your favorite podcasting and YouTube apps, because every little bit counts. In case you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, where we actually have a normal cast talking about the games we've been playing, talking about the news that's dropped this week, and... we'll figure out what we're going to do about this second Xbox
No, just being special, anything special. Whatever comes out of it, I'll talk about if it's of any importance. Okay. If it's not, we'll just keep it moving.
That works then. Until the next episode, we will see you later.
Please. Also, guys, it was a pleasure to be back on the show. I really enjoyed having these conversations with you, DJ, and you, Jordan.
nailed it.
Let's go, everyone.
All right. Thank you.